just flew. Lots of fun, special things, kids, grandkids, cousins, friends, all kinds of good things going on. A highlight for me was going back in July to the Cove in North Carolina. Billy Graham's training center, or center there. What beautiful place, the Blue Ridge Mountains. Gorgeous. Was there for a conference with Ann Graham Lotz and Jill Briscoe, Fernando Ortega, and how absolutely refreshing, renewing, invigorating, just a great time. So that was my highlight of the summer. So now here we go. We're all set for another year. Looking forward to it. You got your books. We'll be doing Acts all year this year. It's the first time we've done one study all year. Acts is long, so we're going to devote the whole year to it. Exciting truths in there. It fleshes out for us walking with the living God, keeping in step with the Spirit. We hear about it. We want more of it. And we're going to dig into that this year. It's exciting. For next week, prepare chapter 1. And again, we'll have a lesson on it, and then we'll break into small groups. Look forward to a good year together. As we consider Acts, and we know how dynamic it was as the church got started, we think, was that just it back then? Is the Spirit alive and working today in such a powerful way? I believe so. And it continues to grow, and we'll look at that. And we're each called to be a part of that. Exciting truths. But perhaps you feel Christian life has become lifeless. Does it feel kind of dead? Does it feel more like performance, a burden? Or is it life-giving? Is it exciting as you see God involved daily in your life? As we sang, He knows your name. He saw you before He formed you. We're going to look at the plans that He has for us, that He calls each of us to. But so many times, we're involved more in information gathering. We learn a lot about God because we desire to know Him, and that's all good, good information. But sometimes we lose the essence of it. John Eldridge, in his book, Journey of Desire, gives this illustration that sometimes can happen. He talks about high school biology and dissecting a cat. I dissected a frog. That was tough enough. But he said that the scientific method is way people often go about just gaining their information. And he says that we have this cat on the table before us, and we discovered quite a bit about it. Its respiratory system, its muscles and sinews, and all of that. Only when the experiment is finished, you have nothing left like a cat at all. You have facts about a cat, but you are far from the real thing anymore. The coy, playful, aloof creature who stands waiting to be let out and walks back into the room once you've risen to go open the door. The real living cat is gone. And we feel that way sometimes about God. We've been dissecting and gaining information. We know a lot about Him. But we're missing the living God. the one involved in our daily lives? Well, this is what we're going to explore and discover more of this year as we get into Acts. See what God has for us. So before we do, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you are present here. Thank you, you have drawn us. You've called us by name. It is your heart that we know you in a vital, dynamic, living way. Thank you. So, Lord, by your Spirit, open these truths to us today. Reveal yourself to us. Open the eyes of our heart that we would see you. And then walk with you closer and closer and better and better. Lord, we commit the time to you this morning. I thank you for each woman who's here. And we look forward to a great year. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my mom had two sisters. And when they would do road trips together, they were so fun and crazy. And many times I would go with them as we'd go down to Phoenix or something to see my sister when she lived there. And one of the things that they did as they would take their road trip to pass some time is that they would make up stories. Have you ever done this with your kids? That somebody starts out with the story, and then the next person builds on it, and then the next person builds on it. It ends up pretty crazy. I know I was reading one of them in some of my mom's old letters and stuff, and it starts out, and they usually would knock the other sister. And so one would start out, this obnoxious sister named so-and-so, you know, was acting up, and so the other two sisters, who were so classy, they had to get rid of her and pushed her in the mud, the story ends. So then the next one gets up, and of course she embellishes about how she was the one who was so innocent, and on and on and on. But at the end of the story, it really doesn't make any sense. You know, but it's fun. And sometimes that's what we do in life. We're each writing our own stories. We're given life, and then it's like, okay, now go write your own story. I'm having time each week with my granddaughter, Kellen. Patty is homeschooling her this year. She's in seventh grade. So I have volunteered to teach her one little session a week, a Bible class. So as we were starting out in this, and we were talking about this, and what was some of this that we'll look at this morning. If you're going to write a story, how do you go about it? And if you think about it, well, you think about, well, what you want it to be about. And you think about the ending. And then you think about, well, how are you going to get there? And what parts will there be? And I said to Kellen, what would happen if this director wanted to do a play? And so he got all these actors together, and here's the stage, there's the lights. Now go. Do what you want to do. And she said, well, that would be kind of crazy. Yeah. And sometimes life looks like that. Everybody's writing their own stories. But we see in the Bible that there's a larger story. God is the author. He did have a reason and purpose in mind. He had the ending. And he had designed how we're going to get there. And we're moving there slowly, methodically, purposefully. He's in control. Psalm 47, he says, the Lord sits on his throne. He reigns over the nations. We don't have to be afraid. God's in control. He knows where we're headed, and he promises to bring it about. So he's written this larger story. And we see, and on the table there, you have this little graph. And one thing I forgot to write in there, so if you would take a pen, and on that little line that drops down in that part of the graph, if you could write Kingdom of God, a little important thing I left out. So on that line that drops down at the end there, right on that line, Kingdom of God. And we'll talk about that as we get to it. And then, if you have your Bibles, you could open to Acts 7. Since this is introduction today, we're going to look at the 7th chapter of Acts. As we talk about the plan and God's faithfully fulfilling it, we're going to take a look at that. We see in Acts 7, Stephen, the apostle, disciple of Jesus, who was debating with the Sanhedrin, the high priest, then asked him this question. And so he went into this monologue of explanation of through history, giving a big picture. And we see in that God beginning, fulfilling, moving. And in Scripture we see when he started it in the creation. Then there was the fall. But he came up with a plan. He already knew. He said, before the foundations of the world, he knew what was going to happen. He said back in Genesis 3:15 that he would send the Son to restore the relationship, to pay the penalty, to make things right. So then the rest of history is moving, the first part of that is moving towards getting that word, Jesus would come at the right time. And then, he said, as we'll see, as we'll look at today, he'll return, bring things to an end, and then make all things new the way it was in his heart for us. It's all about a love relationship. He created us out of love. He calls us to himself in love. It broke his heart when people turned from him. It breaks his heart today. And we turn from him. And we say, no, I'd rather have it my way or about my plan. I don't need you. Hurts. He has emotion. We're created in his image. He feels. He loves. So he calls us to a love relationship, and he started that plan. We see it moving, and then we'll see him fulfill it. And on that graph, you'll see as we look down through there, all that he said, he did. Always. If he said it, he does it. Sometimes there's years in between. But at the right time, he does it. And we look down the page, promise after promise, fulfilled, 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 fulfilled. And it's being fulfilled. So we look briefly at this bigger picture and his faithfulness to fulfill it. Isaiah 14 in the Living, New Living Translation I like, where he says, the Lord Almighty, this is the NIV, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand. Do I not have a plan for the whole earth? And when my hand moves, can anyone stop it? He is the Almighty Living God, the author, the one who's fulfilling his purposes and moving the story to its appointed end for our good. Isaiah 46, the Lord says, I am God and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come? I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. We can count on it. This is the one who invites us to relationship and says, be a part of the story. There's a part for you. Ephesians 2:10, he says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. See, when we are given life, we're created, we sang the song, we have a maker who knows the part already written and planned. So he forms us in accordance with that, perfectly fitted, and knows our name. When we have life and we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, it says our responsibility is to say, okay, Lord, where do I fit in your story? What do you have for me to do? That's what we're, our lives are to be about, being a part of his story. And at times we mess up and we fail and we fall and maybe head our own way, writing our own story. He's full of grace and forgiveness, mercy. The Bible tells us his mercies are new every morning. He says if we confess, he forgives, cleanses us, puts us right back on his path. It's exciting. So this is what we're called to be a part of. And we see, we'll glance at a few things here in Acts 7 with Stephen going through this. Stephen was described in chapter 6 as a man full of God's grace and power and wisdom. And as he spoke, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So then he starts relaying all this going back through history. And he starts out by saying, Abraham, the father of our faith, was called out of his land. God appeared to him, made himself known to him, because he desired to have a people of his own through whom he would reveal himself to the rest of the world. So he called Abraham, and he says, go to the land I will show you. And Abraham obeyed, not knowing where he was going. And God faithfully led him to the land, just like he said. And he said, your descendants will inherit this land. They didn't have a child. And it was years, they were old, getting older and older in age, and it seemed impossible. Abraham took things into his own hands. We know he had Ishmael through a slave woman. But God in his grace came, restored, saying, no, that wasn't my plan A. You're going to have Isaac by your wife Sarah. 23 more years passed. And then God said, but next year by this time, she will bear a son. Way beyond childbearing age. Fulfilled. She did. God fulfilled his purpose. Abraham, Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And God working his purposes, and he promised, he said, the Messiah who comes, my son, will come through the tribe of Judah. Fulfilled. Josh McDowell talks about the probabilities of that. There were over 300 prophecies given for the Messiah, all exactly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The probabilities of that happening down over the ages, off the charts. God did it. He said it. He did it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and we look down our list there. God revealed to Abraham, and it says this in Acts 7, Stephen mentions this, and on your chart of giving the years that all this took place, and in each of those itemized the scripture references where you'll find it. But it says in 7, God spoke to Abraham in this way, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But then I will act and punish those who treat you that way, but you will come out miraculously and worship me in this land. The Lord revealed that to Abraham 600 years before that came about. But it was fulfilled exactly as he said. How'd they get to Egypt? Well, Joseph was born, one of Jacob's children. He was the favored child, he was younger and given this ornamented robe. The brothers were jealous of him. And then Joseph had a dream, two dreams, but they were bowing down to him. And of course, he had to kind of flaunt that in front of his brothers and family, and that kind of pushed them over the edge. So they thought, we're going to get rid of him. And it's fun to look through Joseph's story to see God's sovereignty in having him find his brothers. He couldn't find them. And there was somebody that just had overheard them say, oh, we're going to go over here. God, working within people's free will, working his plan in spite of evil. As Joseph said then one day when his brothers were before him, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. God is the Redeemer. He takes things, the bad, the evil, things that happen to us, weaves them into his good purposes, bringing healing and redemption. So we see that they sold Joseph. They were going to kill him, but then they sold him. They said, well, we might as well get some money for him. So he was taken to Egypt as a slave. Ended up being purchased by Potiphar in Pharaoh's household. God at work, overseeing, bringing about his purposes. Granted Joseph favor. Then he was falsely accused and thrown in jail. And I'm sure he's thinking, what about God? What you showed me? What about all that? And we're told, trust, even when we don't understand. So here he's sold as a slave in Egypt. Then he's thrown in prison where he was for some years. But then at the right time, God had him released, and then became one of the rulers there in Egypt to provide for God's people and others. The country there, God had revealed to him, there's a famine coming. This is what you need to do. Fulfilled, exactly. So then, when Joseph was overseeing all the grain distribution and that, his brothers came down, sent by their dad, to gather grain. There was Joseph. As the story unfolds, he reveals himself to them. They bow down before him, exactly as his dream. Fulfilled. God fulfills his purposes. He does what he says. So here, he told Abraham that 600 years before it happened. And then it says, in verse 17 of Acts 7, chapter 7, as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, given 600 years before, the number of people in Egypt greatly increased. Working his purposes. There's a time for everything. He's moving. So then it says, verse 20, at that time, Moses was born. God raising up a person for his purposes. And then we know Moses' story, and he's started to take matters in his own hands. He was going to be the deliverer of his people, and he ended up killing an Egyptian, and then he had to flee into the desert where he was for another 40 years. But God was at work using all that. And then miraculously appeared to him in that burning bush to say, okay, now my way, my time. Go back. And you will be my instrument, delivering my people. Fulfilled. Mightily delivered. Through the Red Sea that parted. God does what he says. Fulfilled. So then we see that he goes on down through people, and then David, again, God raised up David. He was anointed by Samuel when he was a young boy to be the king of Israel. He was a shepherd. And then God sovereignly worked it out that he got into the palace because he played the harp. And Saul, the king at that time, needed somebody who played a harp. David, okay, moved into the palace there. Eventually became good friends with Saul's son Jonathan, became part of the family. And so then we see that then Saul became jealous. Everybody liked David better, and he was this great warrior, and he was a good friend of his sons, and he just became jealous. So he just started to say, I'm going to kill David. And then he tried to kill him. And he chased him. And for years, David had to live in caves as an outlaw, people after his life. But God sovereignly protected. And at the right time, David became king, exactly as God had said. So we look over history from the beginning, a plan, an author. Jesus says in Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who was and is to come. It will all be exactly as he said. He does what he says. So then we see that the Messiah was born at the right time. And then was crucified exactly on the day that God the Father had scripted it. On Passover, he had instituted these sacrifices in the Old Testament as a temporary measure for his people to stay right with him for the forgiveness. But then he said, and John the Baptist acknowledged as he saw Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. That was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Then sacrificed at Passover to save us. This is the people were saved and delivered out of Egypt. He saves us, delivers us out of the bondage of ourself, of our sin, old nature. And exactly at that time, on that exact day, Jesus died. A plan. God's moving, fulfilling. Jesus told his disciples exactly ahead of time what was going to happen. At least three different times. Clearly it's recorded. He'll be beaten, mocked, spit upon, crucified. But the third day will be raised from the dead. Exactly fulfilled. Just as he said. So then he said, I'm not going to leave you alone as I go to be with my Father now. that when I get to the Father's right hand, so that you will know for sure that I am there after he had been with them 40 days, he says, I'm going to send my Spirit, the Spirit of myself, that will be with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you, never forsake you. And we know, he says, go to Jerusalem and wait there, and the Spirit will be given. And we know, Pentecost, it was another one of their feasts that they were celebrating. God poured out his Spirit to say, okay, now we move out in him. Now, when Jesus came, he established his kingdom on earth. In Mark 1, he says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was there bringing the kingdom. People were looking for a physical kingdom, but it's spiritual. He says, now it's among you. And we see in Matthew, all throughout Scripture, but a lot of kingdom of heaven parables that Jesus gave say the kingdom of heaven is like this. And one of them in Matthew 13, the parable of the mustard seed, familiar one, says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it was the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. A large tree that birds from all over, all nations, come and perch in it, but it grows. And by the power of God. And so that's where we see on our chart. Yes, there's the world and the earthly kingdoms and all that's going on, but now we're a part of the kingdom of God. It's here. It coexists. We're kingdom people. We're called according to his purposes. And his Spirit is about the growing of it. And we know that then all will end when Christ returns. He's moving. It's coming. And just as surely as everything else that he said will be exactly fulfilled, that will too. The angel said to the disciples as they were standing looking at up as Jesus ascended. Well, I guess that's the marker that fell. That in Acts 1, that, you know, what are you standing looking at? As they were watching Jesus, the angels said to them, this same Jesus, who you have seen ascend, will return exactly in the way that you have seen him go. This same Jesus, who is alive, and whose Spirit we have living in us and all around us, moving to his purposes, to the conclusion that the author has written, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I make known the end from the beginning. And as surely as I have purposed, God says, it will stand, it will be fulfilled. So that's where we are today. Exciting. And so he says, there's a part for you. As we're growing, as the kingdom is growing and moving, that's our part today. Acts is really the act in the scriptures, is really the acts of the Holy Spirit, and is still being written. Acts, the Holy Spirit moving today in your life, in my life, in our world, overseeing it, bringing things about. He says, do not fear. I'm in control. There's a plan. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Yeah, things can be rough. Times are hard now. He says, I am with you. I have a plan, and I'm bringing it about. Trust me, even when you don't understand. And he calls us to be a part of it, to have a life that has purpose, that has eternal value. There's a reason you're here. There's a part written, and it's daily as well as larger purposes. He will fulfill it. A story some of you have heard before that is so, it shows it so clearly, that when I started writing Bible studies, that, you know, I always felt called by God to do that. Okay, this is what he had for me. I didn't know how to go about it, but I thought, okay, Lord, you lead me, you show me. And then as we started that back in the 70s, I had that sense that he said a promise of his that these would someday be in print. That wasn't something that I came up with and saying, okay, well, now this is my plan. It came from God. He said, this is what I have for you. And so for 2 years, I wrote studies, and I would ask the Lord, well, Lord, am I supposed to be doing anything with these? And it was that sense of restraint, which we'll discover in Acts, how he often works. He restrains us. He gives us that sense of no, not yet, wait. So every once in a while, that was what it would be for 2 years, as I would ask, wait. Then one day, as I was praying about it again and asking, well, what about this? Now there was a different sense. Now there was an excitement, a freedom, a sense that now is the time. So then, okay, well, Lord, where do I send them? I had 5 places in mind that I thought I had contacts that I could submit them to. And it was, I didn't have peace about any of those. And I was awake in the night one night, struggling with it. Well, where, Lord? What's your provision? And it came into my mind to call this friend, Hope McDonald, who had lived in Colorado Springs and then moved to Wheaton. And I'd forgotten all about her. And that's sometimes how God moves and leads us. He withholds something that we think, well, why didn't I think of that? So that he can give it. At a point where we say, okay, this is God. So her name came to me in the night, and I thought, okay, in the morning I'll call her. So I did, and she said, oh, I just made out my list of things to do today, and on my list is to write my editors at Zondervan. And she said, I'd be glad to give you a word of introduction. Send them the study. So I did. And when they received them, they called her. And they said, we want to thank you for having your friends send us these studies. We've just opened a division of our publishing company called A Women's Workshop, and we're looking for studies to use with women. It's God's. It's God's. We're His. His purposes are His. David says in Psalm 138, the Lord will fulfill His purposes for me. All we have to say is, yes, Lord. Here I am. And it can be daily, not just bigger things, but daily. As we walk, we look at the life of Jesus. You know, most of his days were with individuals. They were meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. He knew she was hurting, needed his love, needed to know him, arranged to meet her there. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Come on down. I want to go to your home and have dinner today. At the pool of Bethesda. A lot of people, but this person that Jesus reached out to. His plan for Jesus that day was to meet with this man and to bring him healing. For us, he leads our steps. He knows people who are hurting. Maybe we're hurting. And he calls people to come alongside, to be his instruments, to bring his love, his compassion, his grace. Important. Things of eternal value. Jesus says, if anyone gives a drink of cold water in my name, it won't go unrewarded. It's important. So daily, I have a friend who every morning when she wakes up, she says, okay, Lord, what do you have for me to do today? Walk in his plan. Yes, and in, he guides us along with the priorities that he knows are ours, responsibilities. It all fits. And there's joy in that. So as we walk, we see God is here. He's at work. He arranged that. You know, my grocery store stories is bumping into somebody there and we think, who wasn't supposed to be there and I'm usually not there. And then suddenly there we are and we have this meaningful conversation and we think, that was God. My friend Nancy Stewart, and she'll be here with us in a few weeks. Some of you know her. Her mom, Patty Schaefer, she is caring for her mom, helping her out a lot. Her mom is at the Village at Skyline, and we have our village people right here. And she also lives there at the Village, and Nancy goes over weekly, more often than that, but to do her laundry each week. And this one day, she says, normally the halls are all empty. And I run down, I'm out of, in and out of her apartment, running down the hall to do laundry and back and forth. And she said this one day, there was this woman that was out just walking up and down the aisle, the hall there. And she just kind of said hi to her and then went on, did her laundry. And every time she came out, there was this woman walking, walking. So she greeted her and said, are you getting your exercise? You know, and she says, no, I'm thinking. So Nancy stopped. And she said, well, what are you thinking about? And she said, well, I'm wondering why I'm here. And Nancy said, you mean here at the Village? You know, she says, no, here. I'm older. My family is other parts of the country. I'm alone. Wondering, why doesn't God take me home? Why am I here? A God-ordained encounter. So Nancy talked with her and walked with her about the purposes that God has for her right where she is. And the importance of prayer. She says, do you have children and grandchildren? Yes, they're far away. You can pray for them. Wow. And the people that you sit with at meals, you can bring Jesus there. Debbie Bailey, who will be doing music next week for us, and often the Village people get up there with their tambourines. We see God's plan for her. As he's gifted her musically, also with her organization, he opened up the position for Debbie there at the Village of Skyline as the program director. And then she was able to gain permission to bring women here every Tuesday morning. We love having you here. And God at work. Then Debbie, quite a few years ago, had started this group. And they at first were reading stories together. And there were about 6 to 8 women coming. And then one of the women said, well, why don't we read the Bible? So, okay. So they started reading the Bible together and started growing like that mustard seed and the tree. And then they had to move rooms because it's growing. More people are coming. Hungry. Want to know what life's about. What awaits them? God has a purpose for us, and he's working it. The gospel's spreading all over the world. June Libby was saying, Lauren is now the president of Trans World Radio. They broadcast in 160 countries, in 200 heart languages, spreading. In 1 month, There were 500,000 downloads in China. Exciting. The Spirit is moving. He says, be a part of it. And right here, Joe Briscoe said, you may not be able to be everywhere, but you can be somewhere. I loved that. I thought, yes, we're here where God has us with purpose and meaning. Exciting. And sometimes he sends us, I look out, you know, and Sally Ward was here going down to Mongolia and Wendy over to Swaziland and Amy, who just came, has adopted a little boy from Ethiopia. Gospel's moving. Jesus is moving. Spirit alive and well today. The kingdom of God growing. Exciting realities. More stories, but it's time to just spend time around the tables together. But we are a part of a bigger story. Your life has meaning. He knows you by name. He has a part already written that you were designed for. As we say yes, then we'll learn about moving and keeping in step with His Spirit as we go each day. To show kindness to somebody or to share something of Him with another. Giving our days purpose, our life meaning, of eternal value. Exciting. So this is what we're going to be exploring this year. And so before we spend time in groups, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the living God. Thank you you are alive and right with us. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to live in us, to flow through us, to work your purposes. Thank you for that privilege of knowing you and walking with you, of seeing you in our days. Open our eyes. Keep us sensitive as we go to people we bump into, to the needs that are around us, that we go in your name, in your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And we commit this year to you as we explore what is the dynamic of walking with you. And we ask that you make yourself known and lead each of us in the path already prepared, that we would know you better and walk in those purposes that you have already designed for us, that your kingdom would be furthered, that you would be glorified, and that our joy would be full. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name.